Well, Father, we will seek you. We seek your words. We seek your life. And that's it. You can't make us. If we want to get closer to you, we will expend the effort and walk forth in with action through Christ our Lord. We thank you and praise you, Christ, and we praise you, Yahweh. Amen.
Amen.
No, I forgot to eat my dessert. I put it right over here. A bad time to eat it. Tonight we're going to do a teaching on spiritual wickedness unveiled. One of the sayings that E.W. Bullinger said, you know, we look for our adversary, the spiritual wickedness, to be in the bars, in the brothels, you know, in gangs and hoodlums. But where he actually began his work was right there in Genesis 3, where he said, "Did God say?" So he is in the pulpit. So unveiling our adversary in the pulpit is part of the teaching tonight, in spiritual wickedness. The other thing we've got to realize is we get to see a lot of movies, and we get to see into supposedly the spiritual realm. Right now we can't see the spiritual realm, but we can be fully aware of its manifestation. So the movies help us to understand that there is such a thing as a spiritual realm. There is kingdoms. There are demonic forces out there who come against us. And whether you realize it or not, most of the time you don't realize it. So this is the way to open our eyes, and that was the Ephesians chapter 6, the end of it. We'll begin. Verse 10 through 12. The summation of, you know, Ephesians is really what most people would call the pinnacle of the church epistles, the height. And so this is the last part of the pinnacle. For the rest, be empowering yourself in Yahweh and the grasp of His might. Put on the complete armor of Yahweh with the view to having power to stand against the strategies of the adversary. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh. And so, obviously, that's what it looks like it is every day. But against the principalities, against the authorities, against the world holders. There's three classifications of this darkness against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. That's what we're discussing tonight. So if we go to 2 Corinthians, and where is it predominantly? It's going to be in the church. How dare you, but that's where it is. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1 through 4. And this is where people least look for it. Because, as we realize, most people have very, very, very little knowledge of this book. Let alone the Hebrew or Greek that this book comes from. Which means they are deceived in great many areas, because they're deceived according to what the translations led them. 11, 1 through 4, I could wish you bear with me as to some little foolishness. Nay, do even bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of Yahweh. For myself betroth you unto one husband to present a chaste virgin unto the Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceived Eve, how did he say do that?
Questioning the
word. Did God say? Did Elohim say? And that was it. In his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the singleness and the chasteness which are due unto the Christ. For if indeed he that cometh is proclaiming another Yahushua, And we know the foundation is in Galatians 1, 6 through 9. If there's Paul says if there's any other gospel that's been heard that did not come from me, let him be accursed.
So Galatians what?
Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. And Moses said that in Deuteronomy. And you will not add or take away from this word. But this is another Jesus, another Yahushua, whom we have not proclaimed. And that is the Trinity today. Or a different spirit you are receiving, which we had not received. That's the Trinity also. Or of a different glad message, that's the same deal too, because we just got tons of things. And people, every Protestant would know that about the Catholics. They say it so easily with the Catholics. You know, if you pray to Mary, that has nothing to do with, there's no foundation whatsoever. And everybody's dead in the first place. Well, that's, you know, what the church has instigated, which our adversaries instigated, that nobody dies. That death is your portal to life.
And so
what keeps you from heaven is life. I need to die. If that's not demonic, but which you have received or a different glad message which you have welcomed, you're well bearing. And who are these people? And we go to verse 13 to 15.
Can you repeat that, please? What?
13 to 15.
Chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. For such as these are false sent ones. An apostle means sent. And that's actually a Greek word. Apostle is the Greek word. To be sent. Deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves into the apostles of Christ. Well, where is our fight right now? People who look like Christ. Wow. And no marvel, for Satan himself doth transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, who end shall be according to their works. That's the spiritual wickedness unveiled, that if a person doesn't have a foundation on this, then they are deceived. Real simple. Like I was telling them, a person was saying, who do I believe? And this pastor was saying, well, let's just believe what is the predominant faith that is being taught for centuries. No, that's not, on the contrary. Everybody knows that Catholics, they would say that about a Catholic. Well, no, I don't mean about Catholics. Well, why would you say what they teach, which is probably longer than what Protestants ever taught? Now, they're wrong, and the Protestants are right. Well, because you have to go to the Hebrew and Greek texts of this. You know, so he should have said, you go to the Hebrew and Greek texts. And we all have access to that, but no, he didn't. And so no foundation whatsoever. And like I was telling Melania here, is the majority of people are in a ship at sea with no anchor.
No rudder.
And they just float around. Yeah. They're blown around with every wind of doctrine. We know that. Blowing out every wind of doctrine. So we're going to see how this is actually done and the spiritual wickedness that are by men who get into relationships, powerful relationships. So let's go to Acts chapter 13 and we'll see Paul confronting this. 13, 6 through 12. And let's see here. Would somebody read 6 through 12? I'll have Aaron read.
In passing through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a certain man, a magician, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, the same calling for Barnabas and Saul, sought to hear the word of Yahweh. But Elymas, the magician, for so when translated is his name, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the royal council from the faith. But Shaul, who is also Paul, are filled with the Ruach Kodesh, looking steadfastly at him, said, O full of guile and all recklessness, son of an adversary, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the straight ways of Yahweh? Now therefore, lo, the hand of Yahweh is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun until a fitting time. And instantly there fell upon him a mist and darkness, and going about he was seeking such as might lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, seeing that what had happened, believing, being amazed at the teaching of Yahweh.
And that's it. So you get to see that. So this is how we confront spiritual wickedness. And obviously, Paul has Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, inside him. And that could tell him, this is discerning of spirits, one of the 9 manifestations, discerning of spirits. And then the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, what to do with that spirit. So he blinded him. And, you know, this guy was a Hebrew. I mean, this was a false prophet, a Jew. All right? So he's a prophet.
Wow.
Now we go to, Jezebel. Let's just look at her. 1 Kings 21. What kind of influence through people? Okay. 21. We don't have to do that. We know about Naboth. You know, and remember, instead of reading this, we know that Ahab, which his name is really Oxab, which means brother father. So that's how we get back to the truth. Wanted his vineyard, and Naboth would not give it to him, and so he whined about it. So Jezebel said, "I'll get it for you," and so she had people lie, bearing false witness. They murdered him, is what it ended up doing. But you go to 25, same chapter 21, 25 and 26. But indeed, there was none like Oxab, who sold himself to do the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. Watch, whom Jezebel, his wife, what?
Goaded on.
She's the one, and by them marrying into that family, brought in Baal into the kingdom of Israel. And her name is Jezebaal. Jezebaal, you know, so that's Jezebel. So that wife impacted and maneuvered Oxab. Now we go to, let's go to First Kings 11. We'll see about Solomon. If anybody believes that people can't be manipulated and infiltrated. And so really you're looking at an infiltrating system. And we see this in governments all the time, where the United States government is supposed to be a righteous institution, Justice Department. And they have infiltrated, criminals have infiltrated the Justice Department. Also, they've infiltrated the Police Department. I mean, what a perfect place to be if you're a criminal. You want to infiltrate the police department, because then you can be on the beat where the crime is done and get rid of the evidence.
Forensic
evidence. Same way with the attorney generals. You want to infiltrate those, and that's our adversary smart. And they're working for the Justice Department. Yeah. No, they're working for Satan. That's what they're working for. Under the guise of justice. But this is Solomon with his wives, as we see 4 through 6. Yet it came to pass in the old age of Solomon that his wives turned aside his heart after other Elohims. His heart, therefore, was not sound with Yahweh his Elohim, as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon went after Ashtaroth, goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. Thus Solomon did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, and went not fully after Yahweh as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. Now right there in the church, there's the holy city, Jerusalem. And for Moloch, you know, this is where child sacrifices were. And for Moloch, the abomination of the son of Ammon. And thus did he for all his foreign wives who burnt incense and offered sacrifices unto their gods. That was Solomon who wrote Proverbs, who wrote Psalms, who wrote probably Ecclesiastics, who wrote Song of Solomon. This is a prophet of prophets that Yahweh visited twice. Don't tell me, people, that Satan cannot infiltrate the top organizations, the top, at the top. We see that also, let me see here, with Rehoboam, his son, chapter 12, same book, 6 to 11. But we're going to talk about Israel came up to them and said, lighten our load after Solomon died. He talked to the old counselors and they said, lighten their load. And then he talked to the young people. So these are infiltrating Rehoboam.
Wow.
Who do you keep company with? And look at verse 10. Then spake he, the young man who had grown up with him, saying, thus shall I say to the people that have spoken unto thee, making thy father make our yoke heavy. Thou therefore lighten upon us. Thus shall I speak unto them. My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now therefore, whereas my father laid upon you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father did chastise you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And guess what? He lost the 10 tribes. I bet you he didn't get rid of his friends.
He doesn't want 80 after that, but...
Yeah, but I bet you he didn't get rid of his friends. We know that about, Haman in the book of Esther. And so infiltrating, you have Haman, who is an Amalekite or Agite, who infiltrated to say, we're going to kill all the Jews. And that is Esther 3, 8 through 11, and which almost came to pass. But we always got to remember, Yahweh is not impotent. And with Mordecai and Esther, by plan, they foiled the whole plot. And so we've got to realize that, too. We are infiltrated.
Period. And he only needed two people.
Yeah, but in very high places.
It's not like he needed a whole army to do it. He just needed two faithful people.
That's the same way in our lives, too. So we go into, that's why it's important to pray for kings and people in authority, because the people are there to infiltrate them. In Ezra 4 through 1. Let's go to Ezra. And this is really cutting. And remember, this is after Jerusalem and Israel have fallen. Nebuchadnezzar took them all away. The rebuilding the temple, they come back to rebuild the temple, page 472. 472, Wendy.
Pardon?
472, page 472. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard, who are these guys? Adversaries. Watch what these adversaries are going to do to try to infiltrate. The sons of the exile were building the temple unto Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. They drew near unto Zerubbabel and unto the ancestral chiefs and said unto them, let us build with you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. And so, Melania, sometimes you have people who are, I'm going to become your friends. And what they are, they are from our adversary infiltrating, attempting to infiltrate. And you can go, nope. Because Yahweh would say, don't have anything to do with them. Okay, nothing to do with them. Let us build with you, for like you, we seek your God. Is that true?
No.
No, that's a lie. And unto them have we been sacrificed, unto him have we been sacrificed since the days of Elahagon, king of Assyria, who brought us hither. Is that true? No. Did a lie after, do people infiltrate lie? Yes, they had a lie. But Zerubbabel and Yahshua and the rest of the ancestral chiefs of Israel said unto them, it pertained not to you and to us in common to build a house unto our Elohim, but we ourselves together will build unto Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, even as King Cyrus, king of Persia, has commanded us. Then came it to pass that the people of the land were what weakening the hands of the people of Judah and troubling them in building. Oh, I thought you were there to help us. So they do just the opposite. And hiring against them counselors to do what? To overturn their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia.
ACLU.
Even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So these are infiltration. This is spiritual wickedness being unveiled. But guess what? They succeeded. Judas was a good illustration. Christ obviously picked him, but it was an apostle who did signs and miracles, who probably healed people, maybe raised people from the dead, as all the apostles did. But he ended up turning and infiltrating by selling out Christ. The difference is, like with all of us, since Christ has Ruach, he knows what's going on. We can walk in that same kind of power, where that's called discerning the spirits, where this person, beautiful, so you know, they're not going to have horns on their head.
Yeah.
They're going to be beautiful, funny, charming. Guess what? They really like me. I mean, it really comes down to they really like me because that's how they're going to infiltrate, you know, to become your best friend. And so that's common. And Judas. Now we go into Yahushua in the synagogue. Now, where are these people? They're in the synagogue. Luke chapter 4. So why aren't they in your churches today? Of course they are. The difference is you're not being booted out many times because you're not going to speak the truth. Verse 16, and he came unto Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and entered according to the custom on the Sabbath day into the synagogue and stood up to read. You know, he did that. Okay, people know him here. You know, so people can turn on you so quick. So guess what? He only speaks what Yahweh tells him to speak. And so what he ends up doing in here is he reads Isaiah the prophet and say, this day, the spirit of Yahweh has come upon me. I'm the guy. Yahweh told him to say that. Do you think those people are going to like that? No. Did he not say it? No, he said it, because the consequences are going to come. But Yahweh had that, and these guys are in the synagogue, 28 to 30. And all were filled with wrath in the synagogue with this holy place as they heard these things. Was he ever invited back? And rising up, they thrust him forth outside the city and led him as far as the brow of the hill on which their city was built, so that they might throw him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way.
His hometown church.
Is that it? And no Yahushua, on the door of the synagogue, no Yahushua, period. He's banned for life from coming from us. How about the apostles? We saw that in Acts chapter 4. And who were against him? It wasn't Pilate. Give us the context. But as they were speaking unto the people, the high priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, this is the top echelon of the church. came upon them being tired out because of their teaching the people and announcing in Yahushua what?
The resurrection.
The resurrection from among the dead. From among the dead. That is the call of Christianity. Satan has got rid of that in today's church. Because nobody's dead. And the resurrection doesn't mean squat. When
so why did you need Yahushua?
That's so.
It's all
so,
the yeah,
so everybody's in heaven already, or they're in hell already. And who needs your body in the first place? So Satan has automatically squashed that the resurrection, which is the whole message of Christ being the firstborn right. from among the dead. To say, guess what? Death does not have dominion. And he showed us that death does not have dominion. And that's in Hebrews 2. Now we go to 18, verse 21. And the same damn law is today, you know.
Chapter 18?
No, chapter 4, verse 18. After their talk and calling them, they gave them a sweeping charge not to be sounding aloud, nor even be teaching among upon the name of Yahushua. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, would it be right in the presence of Yahweh unto you to be hearkening rather than unto Yahweh judge? For we cannot but be speaking the things which we have seen and heard. They, however, further charging them with threats, and we're going to see examples of that, you know, in today. Let them go, finding nothing as to how they might chastise them on the mount of the people, because all were glorifying Yahweh for what they had come to pass. That man who was
blind.
A cripple from birth.
Oh, yeah.
Was pulled out. One illustration is Revelation 13, right in the church. And you better conform. And so we're going to really see you either conform to the synagogue at Nazareth and you won't be thrown out. You conform to the high priest, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and you'll be accepted. You conform to when Ezra and them, or Zerubbabel were rebuilding the temple, you conform to those people. You conform to your wives that Solomon had. You know, you conform to Jezebel, and everything's fine. You're accepted. But when you do the opposite, pardon the expression, all hell breaks loose. I thought these were my brothers and sisters. 13. Now let's look at this. You know, you better conform. 15 and 17. These are very religious people because fire comes down out of heaven, and this guy's a prophet. And this particular person says he's in it. You know, in Thessalonians, he's in the temple of God, saying he is God, and then he has his. The prophet comes out and does signs, brings down fire from heaven. You know, this is the book of Revelation.
And you're talking about which verse?
13. Okay. Chapter 13, verse 13. And he doeth great signs so that even fire he causes to be coming down under the earth before men. And he deceiveth them. That's the whole thing. Deception, deception, deception. Spiritual wickedness unveiled. Is deception. And the only reason you can be deceived is because you don't know the information. When Christ, they say, Satan says, it is written, throw yourself down and your angels will take charge of you. Was that deception?
Yeah.
Christ knew the scriptures and said, no.
It's
you
also
don't
written.
Tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. Comes right back at him. Everything that he did, he came right back. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's how you're not deceived. But if you don't know, you're deceived. King David, every king was supposed to read the Mosaic Law.
And read it.
Yeah. All right. David brought up the ark, great heart. they put it on a cart, and that's a no-no. And they didn't have the Levites there either, and a person ended up dying because of that lack. His heart was in the right place, but he didn't read the book, the instructions. And then he came back and did read it, and they brought the Levites carrying it on there. So it's a really simple thing. You can have a great heart, but still be deceived. And verse 14, and he see them who are dwelling upon the earth by reason of the signs which was given him to do before the wild beasts, saying unto them who are dwelling upon the earth that they should make an image unto the wild beast, who hath the stroke of the sword and yet did live, and it was given unto it to give spirit unto the image of the wild beast, in order that the image of the wild beast should both speak and should cause that as many as should not do homage. Now this is what it's all about. Unto the image of the wild beast should be slain. And we're going to find out, if you did not believe in the Trinity in the 1600s, it was death sentence. Mm-hmm. This is the wild beast. Now think of that. This is a creation. The Trinity is a creation of man. And if you don't bow, which we're going to see, if you don't bow to the wild beast, we're going to see you could be put to death, everything that you own be confiscated, and this is an English law. And he caused all the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, and they should give unto them a mark upon their right hand, this is it, or upon their forehead, that no one should be able to buy or sell, so this is it. If you were against the Trinity, you're outcast. Save he that hath the mark, and the mark would be the Trinity. Very simply is, you want to do business in this Protestant country or in this Catholic country, you're going to confess the Trinity or else. And that's really the mark of the beast. Figuratively speaking, there's going to be a physical mark. And the name of the beast or the number of his name is, 666. Now, let me just give you some examples of true life. We have a state called Maryland in the United States, and this was the Maryland Toleration Act of 1649, that whosoever person or persons within this province and the islands thereunto belonging shall from henceforth blaspheme God, that is, curse him or deny our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be the Son of God, or shall deny the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or the Godhead, or any of the said three persons of the Trinity, or the unity of the Godhead, or shall use or utter any reproach speeches, word, or language concerning the said Holy Trinity, or any of the said three persons thereof, shall be punished with death, and confiscation or forfeiture of all his or her land and goods to the Lord Proprietor and his heirs. That was law in Maryland.
In the United States.
In the United States of America.
Think about other countries like in Europe, but this is the United States.
Yeah. Now, it was under English rule at that time, but now let's look at England. It's called the Blasphemy Act of 1698. Repealed in 1813. They weren't repealed until 1965, finally. Whereas many people, persons have of late openly avowed and published many blasphemous and impious opinions contrary to the doctrines and principles of Christian religion, greatly intending to do the dishonor of Almighty God, and so this always looks great. Mm-hmm. And may prove destructive to the peace and welfare of this kingdom. It is enacted, if any person, having been educated in or at any time having made profession of the Christian religion within this realm, shall by writing, praying, teaching, or advice speaking, deny any one of the persons in the Holy Trinity to be God, or shall assert, maintain that there are more gods than one, or shall deny the Christian religion to be true or the Holy Scriptures of Old and New Testament to be a divine authority, and is convicted thereof, he is disabled in law from having or enjoying any office, employment, ecclesiastical, civil, or military, with further disabilities if a second time convicted. These include imprisonment for the space of 3 years, being unable to sue, to be the guardian of any child or executive administrator of any person. So this is right in the heart of supposedly Christianity, when it has nothing to do with Christianity.
This is, let us build the wall with you. Let us build.
Yeah, that's it.
Ezra, let's build the temple.
Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. And now we're talking today. It's called Dallas Theological Seminary, which is in Dallas, obviously a very big church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now remember, Paul said, if anybody else preaches, well, let's just keep your finger here. Galatians 1. Everybody should look at this. Galatians 1, 6 to 9. How much more blatant do you have to be? Aaron, you want to read 69?
Okay, second. I was taking notes.
What chapter?
One.
Okay.
Galatians 1, 69.
I marvel that thus quickly you are moving away from him that called you in the favor of Christ unto a different glad message, which is not another, only there are some that are troubling you and wishing to change the glad message of the Christ. But even if we or a messenger out of heaven announce a glad message aside from that which we announce unto you, accursed let him be. As we have said before, even now again, I say, if anyone is announcing unto you a glad message aside from that which ye accepted, accursed let him be.
Let me ask you, is Trinity in the Word?
No.
Is God the Son, is God the Holy Spirit, accursed? Now let's look at what Paul says about speaking in tongues. In 14 verse 5. Well, let's just look at God. Just speaking in tongues. Verse 2. For he that speaketh with the tongue, not unto man doth speak, but unto God. Okay. We're going to come back to this. This is Dallas Theological Seminary. The Holy Spirit. Then you'll see the impact. We believe the Son gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongues and miraculous healings, were temporary. We believe that speaking in tongues was never the common or necessary sign of the baptism, nor the filling of the Spirit, and that the deliverance of the body from sickness or death awaits the consummation of our salvation and the resurrection. So no healing. And you do not speak in tongues. Remember, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. This is taught in today, theological seminary. 6 through 9. 2. For he that speaketh with the tongue, not unto man doth speak, but unto God. They say, don't do that. Don't speak unto God.
Wow.
4. He that speaketh with the tongue buildeth up himself. Don't do that. I don't want you built up. Verse 5. Howbeit I wish you all to speak with tongues. Don't do that. Alright? But rather that you may prophesy. So you see the right in the heart of Christianity, I mean, what they call Christianity today. Here's also the Godhead. We believe that the Godhead eternally exists in three persons. Where is that chapter and verse? Where is it? I mean, Paul could have said very simply, the Godhead, you know, greetings of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in every epistle. You know? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one God, having precisely the same nature, attributes, and perfections, and worthy of precisely the same homage, confidence, and obedience. Let me ask you this. When people do their singing in these churches, do they give three songs to God the Holy Spirit, three songs to God the Son, three songs to God the Father? Absolutely they do not. So even on this, precisely the same homage. Just ridiculous. That is
conform.
Yeah, you conform, or at least we're not put to death. But guess what? That is the way it is. Satan is ruling the church, as has for a long time in these particular areas. There are good things there, but Satan is right there on top and teaching all the rest of the pastors. And they know if you don't conform, you're out. Mm-hmm. You don't have a job. But now we go back to, those are just examples of today, Ephesians 6. Let's go back to spiritual wickedness on how to fight it. So, we've got to put on the armor. Well, before we go, keep your finger here, and go to Deuteronomy 20. We'll come right back to this. Because Yahweh is on our side. One through four. What do you want to read, one through four?
When thou shalt go out to wage war against thine enemy, and shalt see the horses and chariots of a people more in number than thou, thou shalt not be afraid of them, for Yahweh thy Elohim is with thee, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when thou art coming nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye are coming near today unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint, do not fear, nor start, nor quake because of them. For Yahweh your Elohim is he that is going with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.
That's us going into battle. Now look at verse 8, and it's telling you, who's not going to make the battle? Read that, Melania.
Then shall the officers further speak unto the people and say, Who is the man that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart melt as well as his heart.
Okay. That's going to be a majority of the people. I mean, the people who know the truth, they're fearful. You're not going to get in the fight. You're not going to get in the fight. But Yahweh is with us. But now we go back to Ephesians. Now he's saying, put on the armor. You're in the battle. Here's your armor. Here's your fight. You got holy rook. I've equipped you. Oh, you're alone. Wah. So is my son. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really comes down to, you know. For this cause, verse 13, for this cause, take up the complete armor of Yahweh. You have to put it on in order that you may receive power. If you don't put on the armor, what don't you have?
Power.
You don't have power to receive power to withstand in the evil day. Are there going to be evil days? Yes, there are. And all things having accomplished to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth. This is the word of Yahweh. Hebrew and Greek test. Not what you've been taught, but what this book actually teaches. And put on the breastplate of righteousness. And shod your feet with the readiness of the glad message of peace. With all, very important, with all, emphasis, having taken up the shield of faith. Faith is certainty. And if I have the shield of faith, wherewith you shall have power. What does the shield of faith give me?
Power.
Power. All the ignited darts of the wicked, are they lit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't hit and they don't light. They're flying. They're on fire, coming at you. And I see people do this on Facebook. They'll have a person who has a shield over a baby, but they've got these flaming darts on their back. No, the shield's big enough for both of you. Where we shall power all the ignited darts of the wicked ones to extinguish. They're coming, but guess what? Psh, psh. And so we get to see this in the science fiction things many times, the Matrix, things like that.
Yeah.
Somebody shoots 100 bullets at them and he just stops them and they all fall to the ground. So just remember things like that. And the helmet of salvation welcome you, and this is important, the sword of the Spirit, which is what Yahweh hath spoken. We use that. We know 1 Corinthians 12, we don't have to go there, 7 through 11, it unfolds the nine manifestations of the Ruach. Tongues, tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. That's our power. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:19, it says, Spirit, do not quench. You know what quench means?
Put it out.
We're supposed to quench the fiery darts, not the Spirit. And by non-using the Spirit, you know what you're doing?
Quenching.
You're quenching the Spirit. So if I have an app on my phone that I'm not using, then obviously it's ineffective, and it's not going to help me as it was designed. And we know in, finish off in 2 Timothy 1, what Paul said to Timothy, verse 6, 2 Timothy 1, you know it's in Timothy, verse 6 through 8. For which cause I put thee in remembrance to be stirring up Yahweh's gift of favor. You know, that's the same thing you do with a fireplace. You stir the ashes, stir the coals to ignite the fire. So we have to do that. Otherwise, it goes out. To be stirring up Yahweh's gift of favor, which is in thee through the means of the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh hath not given us the spirit of what?
Cowardice.
Cowardice. Remember the guys in Deuteronomy, if you're faint-hearted,
go home.
You don't hook up with somebody who's faint-hearted. And when I say hook up, you don't go to battle with somebody who's faint-hearted because they're going to weaken you. So you don't marry somebody who is faint-hearted also, who won't go to the battle. Because eventually they'll say, let's not do that. Let's don't do that. You know, we're going to get hurt. This is going to happen, and eventually it's going to extinguish your flame. But of power and love and correction, be not therefore put to shame. Why would you be put to shame? Because that's the tactic of the adversary. With regard to the witness of our Lord, nor with regard to me as prisoners, but suffer hardship together with the glad message according to the power of Yahweh. So that is the techniques of our spiritual wickedness unveiled. So we're not hidden. We're not, and the Rotherham Bible is the only Bible, or the only Bible that's actually going to get you there.
Yeah.
It's really simple. You've got to have that. If you don't have the Rotherham Bible, you are deceived mightily. And have the Companion Bible by E.W. Bollinger so you can get confirmation on the Hebrew and Greek. You got Blue Letter Bible. You can look at the Hebrew words. It's very simple. Here's just an example. We were just talking at dinner. The word hell, you know, let's just say the concept of hell, would it have been a good place to put it in Genesis? Shouldn't Yahweh have told us about this eternal torture chamber in the book of Genesis? Yes. Genesis is about, I think, 1,500 years. The United States is not even 300 years old. 1,500 years, and no mention whatsoever about a torture chamber that people were presently being tortured in. They had no way to avoid it because they were never told about it.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that common sense? And obviously there is no hell, what the church teaches. And so these are the foundations that just crumble when you look at the Hebrew scriptures, and you can ask anybody, when you say hell, what Hebrew word are you saying? And there is no Hebrew word for this place. So it is been added, according to the Apostle Paul. It's a new doctrine. It's a new Jesus. It's a new spirit. It's a new doctrine. Very simply. Okay, we'll go ahead and end, and I'll give a word of prophecy for people. according to 1 Corinthians 14. Thank you, Father, for these words. Be bold, be courageous. You are victorious as you abide in me and I in you. So do not put forth that shield that is given to you. You have been armed as you put it on. You can go ahead and fight the spiritual wickedness and overcome the spiritual wickedness. I want you to overcome the spiritual wickedness because I need more of you to get in the battle to extinguish this wickedness that's coming through my church every day. Amen. See you next week.